the only living member of the Fort Fairfield Citizens Band. Lester's ancestors came to Fort Fairfield at quite an early date and settled here. Lester, where did your father come from, and about what year did he come here?
My father came from England. He was a cab driver over there, I understand, about 1870s,
yep.
If I remember right.
Then we will go on here and talk about the band, Lester, from here on. This band was known as the what?
Fort Fairfield Citizens Band.
Fort Fairfield Citizens,
yeah.
Band. They were organized and operated in the town here for quite a few years.
Yeah, I would... It was organized in around 1890. I think Van Knowles, a violin teacher at that time, organized it, was the leader, up until he got too old, and then Morris Knowles became leader, a cornet player, and...
How many members were in the band, Lester?
Well, it was on average around 20.
Yes.
Members.
You recall any of the names of the members of that band?
Oh, yes. It was Fred Whitehouse, dentist is here. That's where I learned my bass playing from.
You played bass in this band?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I played bass. And, Bill Dowdy, that's Walter Pacherbit, Bill Gould, and Bernard Boyce, Otis DeBay, and quite a few, three or four DeBay boys played.
Yes, and I remember one named Walter Churchill.
Walter Churchill was a cornet player, and we kept going. We were pretty busy. We had quite a few jobs every year. I know we had to bid for them, of course, but we played for the opening of the International Bridge from Madawaska and Edmonston, and there was a ball that night. I used to play with Noel Oxter, the leader. We played for the opening of the Grand Falls Power Plant there, and
yes, Lester, let me lead you back just a little bit before you get to playing all around here. You did have regular rehearsals.
Oh, we had to rehearse every week, and we were fined 50 cents if you missed rehearsal.
That was quite a lot of money.
That's what kept the band together, yeah.
Did the band have any other income other than the concerts they gave?
All I know of, I think it was $100 raised at town meeting every year for band concerts, and that the rest of the money that we bought instruments and our suits and everything else, we wasn't asking for donations. We earned it, and the band earned it. And
yes, the band had regular uniforms. And
we bought our own uniforms and quite a few of the instruments.
What about marching, Lester? Did you practice marching? Was it a marching band at all?
Or? Oh, yes. We marched a lot of times from the White Front Drugstore down to the park for horse races, picnics, and whatnot.
I remember, Lester, I lived about 5 miles from town, and I remember on a clear night of hearing the band practice there. I'd hear your bass, I think, or the bass drum, because the air currents would be right.
Generally, the bass carries most of any of the instruments, you know.
I think some of the boys did it a little moonlighting too, didn't they? Form orchestras and play.
Oh, yeah.
Some?
I know at the fair, we played. Yeah, I played 8 years in succession for Presque Isle Fair, and during the noon hour or at supper time, we had to play at night the concert, you know, every night and for the vaudeville. And a few of us would gather around a lot of the sideshows and play a little number and get a free pass in to see the snake charmer and the hula hula girls. I was young then, of course, and I didn't pay much attention to them, but.
Lester, let's go back a little bit to this Grand Falls Power Project opening that you played for. What part did the band take in that?
Well, there was two or three bands there, if I remember right. I can't tell you. I think River DeLue Band was there, but the Fort Fairfield Band, and that was the opening of that new power plant that they have today, and we played there that day, that night, then gave a concert that night. I won't say anything about it.
Did you say they had a ball after the?
Yeah, there was a ball that we had. That's where we, I say, we give the concert, the Yorkster. I played with Noel Yorkster, the leader at that time, Morris had Yorkster, and I. We had, I think it was 12 pieces there, a few of the band boys set in, and we played for a ball that night, and it was an awful big crowd there, and it's a night I went to sleep driving home.
You spoke some of playing at the opening of the International Bridge at Edmundston.
Yes, we had that job. There was three bands there. River DeLue was one. I think it was another band from Woodstock. I don't know for sure. And the Fort Fairfield Band. That's the day we marched about 10 miles, I know, for the opening of that. Then we played a concert that night with the Yorkster, Noel Yorkster, and a dance, big ball.
When you played like that, when the orchestra played, I suppose they got paid separately from
the
band.
Oh yes, that's a separate job, yeah.
The band jobs, though, were put out on a bid basis?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah. All the bands.
What about playing at the Northern Maine Fair now?
Well, we did quite a few fair jobs there, and I know we got congratulated several times from the vaudeville actors of being, he gave us a name of being the second best band in the state, which is, and Portland was the best, but he said it was a time we kept that they could do their acts on the best, you know.
I suppose timing was all important on some of these trapeze acts.
Oh, the whole thing relies on time, sure. All the trapeze acts.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever, Lester, what kinds of music did the band play at the concerts? And of course, when they were marching, I suppose it was marches.
Marches, them, but all overtures. That is one thing Morris Knowles was very keen on, and all our band rehearsals mostly was studying and working on overtures of, and we used to have and quite a number of, played very, very nice music.
Must have been, because you said you got compliments from professional people at the fair,
yes.
Who were,
I know one fellow came down and told me, he said, it sounds like a big pipe organ. Not that I'm bragging on it, but Morris had a good band.
I can see like by that. The different places and the invitations, yeah. You had that it must have been a good band. Of course, when you played in the orchestra after the concerts, you wouldn't be playing the bass.
Oh no, I played violin in the Noel Yorkster.
How did you get started playing the violin?
Well, I don't know. I just took a liking to it and thought I'd do that.
Yeah, who was your teacher?
Edna Knowles, that's Van Knowles' daughter, the one I got my violin from.
You took regular lessons from her?
Yeah.
Just for the record, what did they cost you per lesson?
Well, 50 cents that day.
50 cents?
50 cents an hour is what I used to have to play.
And what would you take, one lesson a week? Or?
Yeah, and I only took 18 lessons, but I got my violin, most of it, from in old docks, too. There was a fellow around here, an old Joe Sweats, his name was. He played in the Boston Symphony, and he had his own symphony orchestra in Florida. Well, he played a lot, just sitting in with Noel's orchestra, and I learned more violin from him than I ever studied and got, you know.
When you started out playing, did you have your own violin?
No, I had bought this. Do you mean in the orchestra?
No, when you start taking lessons.
Oh, I had an old violin, yes. It wasn't much, but after I got going there, well, Mr. Knowles, Van, called him, Ed and his father.
He was quite an old man at this time.
Yeah, he was in the wheelchair. Told his daughter, told Edna that, said, you've got one pupil in there, might make a violin player someday, and he said, I'd like to have him have my violin here, because he was done playing. Edna had her own violin then, you know, Miss Lane, so she asked me about it, and I told her I'd like to buy it, but father let me, so
it probably was a pretty good violin, was it?
Oh, it must have been, or he wouldn't have hung on to it like he did. Probably that violin, he probably had it 50, 60 years himself, must have.
What make is it, do you know?
Well, it's H. O. Bryant in Boston named it, and it's made in Italy, but I can't tell you.
What
it did in a Strad, you know.
What did you have to pay Mr. Knowles for it?
Yeah, I gave him $50 for it.
Was that a fair price?
Well, seemed like a lot of money then, but I refused $1,000 for it twice, since. And, but I wouldn't sell it, because I promised him when I bought it that I'd keep it as long as I wanted to, and then hand it to somebody that was gonna use.
Lester, let's go back and talk a little bit about this orchestra. How big an orchestra was it? How many pieces?
Well, we generally had 5 pieces on an average, but then we'd add 2. If we were playing for balls, well, sometimes we'd have 8 and 10 pieces, you know. And the old fella, one of the ones we used to hire quite a lot, was an old violin player, Joe Sweats. He had led, he had his own symphony orchestra in Florida before beer and wine got him, but I learned all my playing from him by playing with him, and he was, he showed me more.
Well, on this orchestra now, you probably played for dances.
Oh, yes,
and,
all the time.
You journeyed around the county?
All over the county.
As I recall it, along about this time, there were quite a few dance halls in the area.
Well, no, that would be World War II. I was playing World War I with Morris.
I see.
And as I say, we had the county here. We did most of our playing in Canada. And we played for all the big occasions over there. And I know a lot of times, winter travel train, of course, we'd land in Fort Fairfield. Taxi'd be waiting for us. Bill Jardines, conductor, would hold the B&A up, and I know of him holding it up 10 minutes waiting for us. We'd just go through town as fast as we could and get the B&A and out of town again. I know a lot of times I wouldn't get home here for maybe 2 weeks. They'd stop in town. stay in town overnight, but I mean to get out home here where I live. We were that busy. And,
we had along in the 20s the construction of some dance halls in the area. Did you play at any of these, Lester?
Oh, yes, I played quite a lot. In fact, Ginn's Dance Hall up here, I played the first 4-5 years at the... And we had 2 dances a week. And one summer, it was 2 months, and by we averaged 200 couple a night, twice a week.
Yes, now this, probably part of it at least, was right during Depression times in the 30s. Just for the record, how much would an orchestra make on a night?
Well, at that time, you were lucky to get $5 a night playing.
And you played every night, or 4 or 5 nights a week?
Well, I know one summer, my wife was playing with me then, and we averaged 4 nights a week that summer. And we'd get $5 a night. Now, the last job I played out there at Bates, for me alone, we got, of course, I was tipped a little, but I got $40 instead of 10. What we'd been always played for.
Yeah.
We quit just about the time the money got big.
You played with the orchestra about 15 years?
I was 13 years old and I played my first dance, and I was 73 when I hung the fiddle up.
That's a good long 60 years, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't play all that time, but most of it.
Lester, when we were going over the first part of our program here, we neglected to talk about a bandstand, where the band played. Yeah. Do you remember where it was?
Yes, it's the bandstand that I played in was where the post office is now.
And how big a building was that?
Oh, I would say it was kind of octagon shape, but that was a building, I would say, 12 or 15 foot where across it.
Yes, and it was a two-story affair.
It's a two-story. Well, we's elevated up so they could see us over the... No need of me putting in
the... The second floor didn't have walls. It
no,
was open, but it did have a roof over it.
Open all the way out with the roof.
And this would seat 20 members of the band.
Yeah.
And the stairway to the thing was on the outside.
That's right.
You don't recall what was inside downstairs?
I don't remember of anything being in there.
I think when this post office was built here, that the bandstand was moved to the grammar school grounds for a period of time.
It was moved down there somewhere. I don't recollect of
some of us in
where it was.
Some of us seem to remember a little bit of a controversy about it when it was being torn apart and dismantled.
Yeah, I don't remember of anything like that.
I want to start the introduction to this again. Lester Parker is the man I'm talking to. He is the only living member of the original Fort Fairfield
Citizens
Band.